This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. You guys know I'm always up for a good MVP story, and one of the best stories is Wasabi Technology. Wasabi is the world's hottest cloud storage company, and it's become the go-to provider for professional and collegiate sports teams, including 20 Major League Baseball teams like the Red Sox, and NHL teams like the Bruins and Vancouver Canucks. Even the Liverpool Football Club is getting in on the Wasabi action. So, why is Wasabi the MVP? Well, Wasabi was purpose-built to free businesses from skyrocketing storage costs and unpredictable transaction fees that the Amazon of the world are charging. In fact, Wasabi is up to 80% less than those hyperscalers and doesn't charge a cent for businesses to access their data. From Wasabi's AI-enabled intelligent media storage, Wasabi Air, to the industry's only cloud storage service with triple protection against cyber criminals, data deletion, and ransomware, Wasabi's taking the lead in driving innovation in data storage and helping sports teams to unleash the power of their data. Wasabi, another Boston-based championship team.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, welcome on in. It is the Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable, never looks so good. Jack Fritz hanging out with you here on this Tuesday night, reacting to what feels like a May Tuesday night, you know, maybe an April, May kind of loss for the Phillies tonight. And frankly, in my opinion, it was an avoidable loss. 215-592-9494 is how you get in. Leaving the ballpark, it was another great crowd. They said 37,000. It looked more packed than that, but I guess the upper bowl wasn't totally all filled in. But regardless, a game in which I felt like they easily could have come out on top of, and something that for me was a huge missed opportunity. Felt like early season fills, and one that you will kind of look back and say they gave that one away. 215-592-9494. It's the Final Out. Jack Fritz reacting to the Phillies losing 4-2 to the Braves tonight. And there's three things I want to get into tonight. That immediately jump out to me off of that loss. Number one is that the offense early is not going to be talked enough about being one of the reasons why they lost that game tonight. You know, I know that people pay attention to the decisions and at-bats and things that happen in the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, because those are winning times. But you can lose ball games early. And especially when you're playing a team like the Braves, who just seem to execute at an extremely high level, seem to always get back-breaking hits against you, have weapons coming out of the bullpen, have Spencer Strider on the mound. You got to do the little things right if you're going to come out on top and you're going to win that game. And it felt like early, they just weren't locked in. They weren't doing the necessary things. Felt like a little bit of lights bright in a big moment where they're like, all right, we're back, we're go time. And they came out. And they let in a golden opportunity early slip away. First and second in the first inning, didn't get that done. Bottom third, Marsh leads off the inning with a double. Schwarber gets him over. You runner on third base, less than two outs. Got to get that run in. They don't. Bottom four, runners in first and second, no outs. Bang, double play. All of a sudden, momentum stopped. That is three times in the first four innings that they had multiple runners on base that they weren't able to break through and get it done. Now, Castellanos did give them a lead in the next inning, which is fine. They went up 1-0. I get it. But they had Spencer Strider, a guy who had a 5.5 ERA, I think, in his last 6-7 starts, has not been the same kind of guy recently. They had him on the ropes, but when you don't capitalize, that's how he goes out and racks up 9 Ks. And that's how he ends up being our player of the game, which is brought to you by South Jersey Gas, committed to providing safe, reliable, affordable natural gas Make the switch at southjerseygas.com/lovemyhome. Spencer Strider, he was great tonight, but I felt like the Phillies let him off the hook. I don't think he gets into that rhythm if the Phillies don't capitalize early, and that's usually what you have to do against great pitchers. And I don't really care, frankly, what Spencer Strider's ERA is this year. He's a great pitcher. We know he's a great pitcher. He's an ace. And the old saying is, you better get to aces early. And the Phillies didn't do that. So the first thing that stuck out was that a lot of missed opportunities early that ended up costing them late against a great team. My second big takeaway, and a bit of wind is taken out of my sails here for Rob Thompson because of what he said postgame, but I'm not letting him completely off the hook. There was three things that really stuck out to me from Rob Thompson tonight, and frankly, reasons why you can blame this loss on him. The first thing, and I know it's a minor thing, but frankly, I don't really care. Having three lefties at the bottom of a lineup is just stupid. Like, going Clemens, Marsh, Schwarber, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to have three lefties at the bottom of the lineup. It allows for a situation like what happened in the bottom of the seventh where they can just bring in a lefty, and since you don't want to burn your bench guys there early – because you want to save maybe Clemens for the ninth and Marsh for the ninth, and you know you're not going to take out Schwarber. But regardless, like you can't burn those guys there because you may want them in the ninth. It sets up a situation where all Snicker has to do is bring in a lefty and AJ Minter, and you know, good morning, good afternoon, good night. That's unnecessary from Rob Thompson. The Jeff Hoffman decision. Post game, Rob Thompson said that Junior Marte, Matt Strom, and Jose Alvarado were down tonight. So really, the only two back-end options that you can trust on most nights that were available were Gregory Soto and Craig Kimbrell. With obviously Sir Anthony being hurt, that's not a great spot to be in. So if I'm to believe that, which I do, what bothers me there is that if you know that's a situation, it's a 1-1 game, Rangers pitching really, really well, let him go. He was at 99 pitches. He's facing the bottom of the lineup. Which gives you a better chance to win that game? Ranger at 100 pitches and facing the bottom of the lineup, or Jeff Hoffman in any kind of semi-high leverage situation? Jeff Hoffman's been pretty good. He's been a decent little find for this team, but I'm trusting my studs there, and I think that was a mistake by Rob Thompson. And like Jose Alvarado, it's fine. He's coming back from an injury. I get wanting to manage his workload. Matt Strom, they need to manage his workload. I have no problem with that. Like, he is already exceeded the amount of innings he's pitched the last two seasons in freaking June. So, like, I get that. The Junior Marte thing, that's one that I can't really live with. He pitched three times last week. Once was last Monday. He pitched 13 pitches on Saturday and had a 1-2-3 ninth on Sunday with a day off yesterday. Junior Marte, I feel like, has become trustworthy out of nowhere in a way. He easily could have come into that game. Maybe it's a different story. But regardless, if I was ranking the options there, I'm going Ranger in that spot, trusting my guy, knowing that I have a limited bullpen, and saying, hey, we got to push you tonight. And if he goes out there and he gives it up, at least I'm going down with one of my studs. And then finally, same inning. Like, pitching to Ronald Acuna with the base open, he had runners on second and third, one out. It just let him, like, walk him. It sets up bases loaded. It sets up a force play to all bases. It's one out. You need a double play. It's the best chance to limit damage that inning. Who would you rather face? Ronald Acuna, who's probably been the best player in the NL this year, or Ozzy Albies, who still could be a Phillies killer, but just play the percentages and give yourself a chance to have a force play at any single base and set up the double play. So that's three mistakes for me. Three mistakes by Rob Thompson. And the final thing that stuck out to me, and again, 215-592-9494 if you want to get in and react to a tough loss to the Braves tonight. The third thing that bothered me and why I think a lot of this game felt like May, which obviously bad managerial decisions, offense early, bad runners in scoring position. They had like 11 hits again, but were 1-for-9, I think, with runners in scoring position. But the final thing, just dumb baseball. Dumb baseball, and I hate it. I hate dumb baseball more than – because it's avoidable. It's all avoidable. Schwarber bunting for no reason. I mean, what was it, the World Series? I mean, like, I think he has one less home run against lefties this year than righties. Like, he's been fine against them. It's just like – you didn't have to bunt in that situation. Just try to hit the ball out of the ballpark. It's the one time where I don't want you to try to be like a little small ball hitter at some point. So that was dumb. The Bryce at bat in the bottom of the eighth was maybe one of the most giveaway at bats I think I've seen. Like, Nick Anderson was like, all right, I'll keep throwing the slider until you don't swing at it. And his last swing was like a 58-footer. So that was annoying. And then obviously the big one, JT Realmuto getting thrown out at second base. You're down 3 runs at that point. Getting to second does virtually nothing. Like, you have to be smarter in that situation and realize, like, we need base runners right now. We can't give away outs on the base pass. What makes matters worse is that Bryson Stott leads off the next inning with a double off of Eddie Rosario's glove. Obviously, just different pitcher. I get that. But still, like, give your guy a shot. Absolutely no need to try to take second base there. And it was a frustrating night. And it felt like a big old missed opportunity. Linda is in New York. What's happening, Linda?
Hi, dear. How are you? And I agree with you, dear. But, you know, we know the track record of the Phillies, right? You know what tremendously successful year they had last year. So we all are scratching our head. It doesn't affect us too much, so we're not going to give up hope. We know what we're capable of doing, right? And, you know, there were some times when they used to execute when they was in scoring position. And I was like, when I heard about it, I said, wow, they're home. Because, you know, when they're home, they really do very exceedingly well. So, you know, and I love those guys. And you were right. And thank you for having this opportunity for people like us who love the Phillies, like beyond yardage here, and the fans who want to come in and share the disappointment. But we know this is not the end of this.
Well, not at all. I mean, they've been playing good baseball, and that's what makes it.
The sweetheart, watch them bounce back, okay?
I believe they will, and I love the positivity to lead us off tonight, and I appreciate the call. No one's proclaiming the season over. Tonight was just annoying from the standpoint of, like, that's a game that they could have won. Like, it felt like an avoidable loss, and there was, like, little things that we just haven't seen them really do the last 2 weeks that started to creep back in, and it's frustrating when you see that stuff start to happen again for really no reason. Like, that's just a lot of bad baseball, bad decisions, and poor execution on offense. And that's more my frustration tonight. Not season's not over. You know, I feel like for a majority of that game, I felt like they looked like they're on the same playing field as the Braves, which is a good sign. But that's what makes it stink when they end up giving away a game late. 215-592-9494 on the other side. What's your reaction? But also some positives I took from the night and more on one of the things that Rob Thompson said postgame that's going to be an issue until they fix it. What is it? We'll get to that and more of your phone calls coming up next here on The Final Out.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, you could have walked him, but no. We pitched to Ron Acuna, and he made the Phillies pay. Instead of, you know, just putting him on first base, creating a forced play at all bases, setting up a double play, letting that back in order, we're going to pitch to Ron Acuna. And what do you think happened? He blew the game open, 3-1, and they brought in Andrew Vasquez to face Matt Olson, and it became a 4-1 game, and then whatever. We know the rest. I thought that was a mistake by Rob Thompson in a game in which I thought he made a couple of them. And, you know, the offense, I think, cost him early. Rob Thompson cost him late. And dumb baseball felt like it was, going all throughout the game. Either way, the Ron Acuna single up the middle is our Mike's Amazing Play of the Game. Presented by Mike's Amazing, the official mayo, mustard, and vegetable oil of the Phillies. Welcome on back. It is the final out. Sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable, never looks so good. We got Padres versus the Giants tonight. Could really use the Giants to slow down here. The part that stinks about what, you know, they had 8-2 of their last 10. They had won 13 of their last 15. They got hot, but everyone else got hot around them, and that's increasingly frustrating. It's like, you know, they didn't even make up any ground because the Braves had like the same record during that time. So, you know, again, that's what makes tonight's loss. It stinks. It's June. There's a lot of games left, but that's a missed opportunity. We'll get to some positives here in a second and harp on one thing that Rob Thompson said. But first, let's go back to the phones and talk to Matt in Medford. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, Jack. I just want to say, first of all, I love the final out. And I love High Hopes so much.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. I love them both. And, you know, the bottom line, you made this point already, but the game, this is a game we could have easily won. And the Braves are a great team. We should have won this game. The Schwarber font and the mistakes in the base path, like JT, it's hard to lose that one when we could have won it.
Well, it felt like the early season, and this is what, you know, got them to being six games under 500. And what's annoying is that they hadn't been doing that. And yes, of course, you know, they're playing against lesser competition on some of those games, but like the Diamondback series or the Dodgers series, they played pretty well. And the Diamondback series, I thought that was like almost flawless. And had Cody Clemens hit a ball like 2 feet to the left, we're talking about sweeping the Diamondbacks in Arizona, which seems like an impossible task. So, you know, like that's what makes tonight a disappointment. Season's not over. We get that. But that's one they could have had.
And I'm worried about the anemic offense. I mean, I feel like, all these past games we've won, it's only been about a run or two.
Yeah.
And tonight we couldn't get it going. And I'm just worried about the offense kind of stalling. It just hasn't been happening. So hopefully they can turn it around. I mean, there's two more games, so we'll see.
Yeah, and I appreciate the call, Matt, and the kind words. Saturday against Oakland was definitely disheartening. Now, you didn't have Castellanos for both of those games because he's dealing with the runs, and I guess all he ate the last couple of days was bread, and he was able to go out there. He just continued going on and had a good RBI and whatever, so we take that. From Nick Castellanos, you know, looked okay after having a couple days off, 3 days off. So he was actually one of my positives from tonight is that I thought he looked good. Had some opportunities early, didn't come through, but whatever, like still got the RBI late and didn't look completely lost. Like sometimes we see with guys taking a couple days off. A couple other positives that I had from tonight is that obviously Ranger was great. Like I thought Ranger was mostly better than Spencer Strider tonight. Like, again, early in the game, the Phillies had Spencer Strider on the ropes. They weren't able to break through, and that was frustrating. But at the same time, like, the fact that I felt like I watched that game tonight and it sort of validated how we felt about Ranger for the last 4 or 5 starts, I think is a really positive thing. And it's just, you know, it's so hard not to trust Ranger with pretty much everything he got right now. He is efficient. He is around the strike zone. He is still starting to strike out more batters. I think the pitch clock is working in his favor because he already works really quick. And he just looks totally poised, totally in control. And it's like almost not talked in. Like I think we love Ranger Suarez, but it's almost not talked about enough that this guy's developing into a legit two for this team. And while Nola struggles, they need him to step up. And he just continues to do it. And he's just, I can't say enough positive things about him. And that's why, you know, Rob Thompson over the weekend, I thought it was an important moment on Friday night when he let Taijuan Walker finish out that eighth inning. Sure, you're playing the A's and it's a 4-1 game and you'll take your chances on Taijuan Walker working his way through that. But I felt like it was a big trust moment. and especially after his last start, he got pulled after five innings, and he wasn't happy about it. Rob Thompson said, "Okay, well, I'm going to give you this opportunity. Go earn it." And he did. And I would have liked to see him, especially down three bullpen pitchers, give Ranger the opportunity to pitch that seventh inning. Let him, you know, go see what he can do against the bottom of the lineup. I can guarantee you it's a better option than Jeff Hoffman. So either way, Ranger was great. And the other thing that I thought was important is that Marsh had three hits and finally was hitting the ball hard again. And that looked closer to early season Marsh. He talked the other day about how he's just kind of been in between pitches and he's been mad and he's been making adjustments and whatnot. So looks like the adjustments are slowly starting to pay off. I don't think it's a coincidence that he's starting to play better as soon as Christian Pache comes back and is starting to make some headway. And there's been talk of maybe a full on platoon in center field. Regardless, getting Brandon Marsh back closer to the player that we saw in April and May would be a big thing. And then one more thing we'll get to after we talk to Dave in Maryland. What's happening, Dave?
Jack, tough one tonight. Just a lot of it was just confusing to watch at points. JT's base running error, the bullpen decisions, obviously, you heard more about that after the game. But, like, when you have situations like that, and you knew coming into today that you were three guys down, doesn't it make sense to send down Covey and bring up a guy like Bilotti that you've trusted in the past? Like, I'm not mad at Jeff Hoffman. He wasn't ready for that situation. And he's been fine. It just, he wasn't ready for that. And, you know, a guy, I'm not saying Andrew Bilotti gets out of it, but like you play your best players. And I think we talk about that with Stott, with left-handed pitching. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like you said, Ranger at 100 pitches, you know, he's giving up one run on one bad pitch the whole night. And, you know, you just go with your best. I think tomorrow they bounce back and you can put some money on Bryce Harper home run tomorrow.
Yeah, it feels like that, Dave, and I appreciate the call. It's like, you know, I thought Ranger was good. Give him the opportunity. The freaking, like, I guess Dylan Covey's here, and this is the only thing that makes sense in my head, and I guess, like, logically it makes sense. But, like, I guess he's here for mop-up duty. Like, that's his role, is like, hey, if we're down by a ton, guess what? Your time to shine, buddy. Which is valuable in a sense, but it's basically human batting practice. And I understand that Nick Nelson's probably going to take that role and whatever. But, like, Andrew Bilotti is a guy that was pitching in playoff games last year. And to completely just lose faith in that, like, Jeff Hoffman has been a nice find for them this year. But still, like, we're talking about a reclamation project coming into a 1-1 game in the seventh against the Braves. That's not a scenario that should happen. Now, my theory here, and it was a lot like what happened down in Washington, you know, their final loss before they got hot, was when he brought in Connor Brogdon into a tie game after they just battled back from being down 7-0. He brought him into a tie game, or no, it was 6-0, 6-1, whatever, 7-1. They battled back. They made it 7-7. And he brought in Connor Brogdon. And my theory was he brought him in because he had just gotten him warm in the inning before, and he didn't want to have him get hot and then just have to sit down. So if he's already hot, just bring him into the game, which is fine, I guess. But you're playing the freaking Braves, man. Like it's not – it's not the A's. This isn't like a game where you're totally going to bank on these guys like coming back against whoever's in the opposing team's bullpen. Like, the Braves are good. The Braves are the best team in the National League this year. They're 21 games over 500 right now. Their run differential is over 100. Like, I don't care if he just warmed up and you're worried about him starting and then going in, you know, like, just sit him down and put Ranger in the game. Now, the one thing that, you know, when Rob Thompson's talking post-game about these guys that aren't available because they're monitoring workloads, that's the big issue with the bullpen game. Sure, like, the in your, like, right in front of your eyes is not the most pretty sight in the world when you have to go through a bullpen game. But really, it's the effect that it takes on the rest of the week and how that all plays out. I mean, this is all the guys they had to use on Saturday just to win a 3-2 game against the A's. And I know it went extra innings, but Chris Sanchez, Matt Strom, Junior Marte, Gregory Soto, Jose Alvarado, Craig Kimbrell, Andrew Vasquez, Jeff Hoffman. Like, it's a ton of pitchers. And when you're in a bullpen game where you're only expecting four innings from a starter at the most, like, that's going to come back and kill you. And it makes you have to sit out three of your top-ish guys in a division game against a team that you're trying to chase down for the division and other teams that you're trying to chase down for a wild card spot. That's the problem with bullpen games. Sure, it stinks to have to sit there and watch them, but it also stinks that it takes some guys out when your starter can only give you four innings. That's the problem with bullpen games. So either way, frustrating night all around. 215-592-9494 on the other side. We will look ahead to tomorrow. We'll run through all your phone calls before handing things off to Jody Mack. Dan Wilson, is Jody coming up next? Jody Mack coming up next. We'll get to him after the final segment here of The Final Out on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Welcome on back. It is The Final Out, sponsored by Regency Furniture. Affordable never, ever looks so good. Jack Fritz hanging out with you, reacting to a missed opportunity by the Phillies tonight. And again, I mentioned this earlier, but I felt like a majority of the game, first six innings, I felt like the Phillies mostly outplayed the Braves. I felt like there was missed opportunities. I thought they would come back to bite them. But Ranger was great. They were getting close to hitting Spencer Strider. And then what separates great teams from good teams, I think the Phillies are a good team. There's no doubt about it. And for a month and a half stretch in October, November last year, they were a great team. But what consistently separates good from great is doing the little things, playing smart baseball, and capitalizing on mistakes. And what the Braves, I feel like, consistently beat the Phillies at is the little things. It's when runners on second base, one out, if you're not like doing damage on a baseball, you're pulling it to the right side, you're getting them over to third, and you're finding a way to get them in. You're not bunting. You're not bunting in the seventh inning with two outs for no freaking reason. What, do you think you're going to beat that out? Like, you're going to surprise everyone? You're not getting thrown out at second base when you're already down three runs and you need base runners with Bryson Stock coming on up on deck. Like, it's just your manager is pitching around their best hitter, letting him go to first base to set up a double play and set up a force to every bag. Like, it's just that's what has been so frustrating for the last couple of years between the Braves and the Phillies. And yes, the postseason was great. It was awesome. Wouldn't trade it for the world. But what has separated, I believe, the Phillies and the Braves the last couple of years, it's not really been talent on the field. I think the Phillies and the Braves are very similar talent-wise. Now, the Braves are much better at getting guys to their farm system, bringing them up, having them be major league ready. The Phillies buy their talent mostly. But what separates them is the little things. And when people talk to me about how important analytics are, and I'm very pro analytics, but when it comes to winning baseball and it comes to winning more than just regular season baseball games, which I believe like teams like the Yankees try to do is like, well, home runs are going to lead to regular season wins. Okay, well, what happens in the postseason? Why do you come up short every single postseason? You can't do the little things. And what the Braves, I feel like, have done better than any other team in baseball the last couple of years is they always seem to do the little things right. I guarantee you, if in the first four innings they had runners on first and second in the first, they had a double and a runner on third with less than one out in the third, and in the bottom of the fourth they had runners on first and second, no outs, and the ground's a double play, I guarantee you if the Braves are in those situations, they come out with more than one run that didn't happen until like the fifth inning. And that's the frustrating part about tonight. Joe is in Churchville. What's happening, Joe?
First off, I just wanted to say that I agree with you about your Ranger points. I think the Phillies have a really, really fast trigger on their starter sometimes, and especially with Ranger, and knowing that it's going into a bullpen game, it bothers me that there doesn't seem to be a lot more trust in Ranger. So,
I guess
you made that point there.
Yeah, and it's interesting because two thoughts on that. One, if they're still worried about injury and workload, I get it from that standpoint, but it's been five or six starts right now. I mean, like, he should be capable of pitching more than 100 pitches if you have to push a guy, especially if you're down guys in the bullpen. So that frustrates me. And what does frustrate me is that I think he has been trusting his starters more. Like, Taiwan Walker went eight innings the other night. You know, there's a couple instances the last couple weeks where I felt like he's left a starter in an inning before he usually would. And tonight, it felt like a moment where, hey, man, that's the bottom of the lineup. Like, let Ranger go kind of navigate them and see what he's got. It's certainly going to be a better option than Jeff Hoffman. So
absolutely.
That was definitely a frustration point tonight, Joe.
Yeah. I think your point on fundamentals, one thing that also strikes me, maybe it's the way that I'm watching it, maybe I'm not 100% sure, but the way that the sense that I get as I watch these players go up the bat, they always seem to be wanting to play hero ball, and they always seem to be wanting to be the one that's going to drive in a home run or drive in the 2-3 run homer. Whereas all they really need to do is just get on base, and getting on base will prevent some of the situations where you leave two runners hanging at the end of the inning. So The first half of the game, they seemed to be playing for that hero ball when they didn't need to.
Right, and I appreciate the call, Joe. And I think tonight that's definitely a fair thing to say. But part of what makes tonight frustrating is that I felt like for the last 2 weeks they haven't really been doing that. First 2 months of the year, April, May, a lot of hero ball, a lot of trying to do too much. Lot of, we were in the World Series last year, let's go have that kind of fun again. And then that turned, I believe, into panic of like, oh, bleep, we're under 500, we're kind of struggling here again. Tonight felt more reverting back to that than what we'd seen the last couple of weeks that have gotten them back to being four games over 500. So I'm not going to give up on that. Like, I think maybe it was just a big night. They wanted to go out and prove to the baseball world that they are back, and they got a little over antsy. It happens. Not, you know, writing an obituary on the season. It was just a frustrating thing to experience. Kevin is in Newtown Square. What's happening, Kev?
Yeah, hi, Jack. Listen, I'm on 95. Haven't moved in 30 minutes. Just leaving.
Oh my gosh, man! I'm sorry. You going north? I guess.
I'm going south, I think.
Okay.
I don't understand why we're bringing Jeff Hoffman in that situation. I mean, we have a bullpen, you know, one day's rest. Yeah, I'm taking anyone over Jeff Hoffman, honestly.
Yeah, well, and Thompson talks postgame, and he said that Alvarado, Strom, and Marte weren't available. But my point of contention with that is, first off, Marte should have been fine. Like, that's ridiculous. My point of contention is just leave Ranger out there. It's the bottom of the lineup. Like, like Ranger's only at 99 pitches. Like, I watched Paul Skeens on LSU throw 120 pitches the other night. He's a college kid. I think Ranger could go out and navigate the bottom of the Braves order, and it gives you at least a better chance to win than Jeff Hoffman. My theory is, Kevin, is that he had him warmed up in the bullpen. He didn't want to start him and sit him down and then maybe have to warm him up later. So he just said, let's bring him in. That's what he did with Brogdon in Washington, and that's what I think he did tonight.
Jack, I got one more point. I think Where's Mick Abel? Where's Griff McGarry? We need something to get excited about. We need one of our prospects come up here and throw a couple innings. I mean, it's, you know, if they're in the bullpen, so be it. I want to get excited about something here. We need some hype.
All right, Kevin, I appreciate the call. I've been advocating for weeks to bring up Griff McGarry. Mick Abel, I'm fine with not bringing up. He's in Double A. He's 21. His ERA is over 5. He's exciting. There's some stuff there that you like, but no. Griff McGarry is a guy that I would bring up. He was not great his last start, but I think his stuff plays. He's 23. He's had good numbers at Double A. You know, the Braves are starting a guy tomorrow in Smith-Shava that, you know, they brought him up from Triple A, and he's coming up and he's making a little bit of a difference. I don't know why Griff is not at Triple A at least, just to see what you got. He's got some control issues. I totally understand that. But right now, you know, I'm watching mostly bullpen games in you know, a start a week. Now, Chris Sanchez was good on Saturday. Maybe he gets in a little bit of a role here. At least it's not Dylan Covey. I mean, that's our baseline here. Is at least he's not Dylan Covey. But the Griff thing, I do want to see them eventually start, you know, amping up his workload and seeing if he can come up and help this team out, because they basically just need to tread water for the next month with the bullpen slash fifth starter spot. And, I mean, they've been hesitant to move up Griff, but we'll see. Either way, I definitely would start to think about that. Tomorrow, we got Aaron Nola on the mound versus, again, Smith-Shava. You know, he's only made, I think, 3 starts. He pitched into the 6th his last start against the Rockies, allowed 3, not a huge strikeout pitcher. But you know the Braves and their young pitchers, it feels like they all come up and are usually pretty good, besides, like, Dylan Dodd. And then Aaron Nola. And the funny part about Nola's struggles is that the last couple of years, it's always been Truist Park that has been a house of horrors for Aaron Nola. He's been good against the Braves at home. I mean, the Braves at Citizens Bank Park, it feels like he's a different pitcher. And the part that stinks about that Diamondback start, and yes, there's parts of it that were absolutely vintage. The Marte home run was vintage. His numbers out of the stretch, batters are hitting 300 off of Aaron Nola out of the stretch. Meanwhile, his ERA out of the windup's like 1.9. So, like, totally different pitcher. But what stinks about the Diamondback start is that I thought he was really good. Like, he struck out 9. He was rolling. It was just that one inning, and the one inning was also aided by Kyle Schwarber booting a ball on left, which led to a ground ball that should have been a double play ball. They couldn't turn 2 of them, really, and the inning just spiraled out of control, which it feels like a lot of innings have spiraled out of control for Aaron Nola this year. So either way, big start. Tonight was a tough loss. You would like your ace to bounce back tomorrow and give a solid outing and continue, honestly, this run that the Philly starting staff has been on in June. I think their ERA in June is under 2. So it's been a really good run for the Philly starting staff. We'd like to see Aaron Nola join the party. Either way, that's going to do it for me. Dan Wilson produced the final out tonight. I will be back tomorrow for the final out. Also, Marks and Reese, we will be leading you into the game, getting you set. Aaron Nola, Smith-Shava, a big game for the Phils. Aaron Nola on the mound, which I know makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside. That's going to do it for me. Thanks for hanging out here on the final out. Jody Max got you next. He'll take you through the rest of the night here on WIP.